Welcome to You Can Have What You Want with your host, Michael Neal.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you may be. Our topic for today is finding comfort and calm. And my very special guest will be Jennifer Loudon. She's the author of The Life Organizer and the Woman's Comfort Book, not the Woman's Book of Comfort, as I was pointed out to me. She's also a very dear friend and a wonderful coach. We'll be taking your calls a bit later in the show. The numbers to call if you want to get in, 866-254-1579. It's toll free, 866-254-1579. And from outside the United States, you can reach the show on 001-760-918-4300. And for now, let's bring on Jennifer Loudon. Jennifer, welcome to the show.
Hey, Mr. Michael.
How you doing?
You know, it's sunny today, so I'm doing good.
Right. Have you found any comfort and calm?
You know, I actually have found comfort and calm by having a new relationship with fear for the first time in my life.
That's great. How long have you been dating?
Well, we're not dating yet. We're just getting to know each other.
Oh, okay.
let's slow things down. Truly, before, you know, the last few months of insanity in the world economic markets, I had a conversation with my sweetheart, and I was talking about different ideas and that I want to do creatively, and should I write this or should I do that, and I just couldn't make up my mind, and he said very gently and lovingly, and by the way, he had a hangover at the time, so I thought his amazing ability to look into my heart was even more stunning. He goes, I think you're really afraid. And after I was done poo-pooing and foofing and saying I've never been afraid in my life, I realized I was. So I've gotten really curious about fear, Michael.
Cool.
And then, yeah, it's very, very scary.
Well, no, see, what I love is, like, you get curious about fear. Some people get curious about fear and then sort of have a drink and get over it. Now, you get curious about fear and create comfort and calm summits. So, so tell me a little bit about what, first off, what it is that you're creating, and then secondly, what you've discovered so far.
Well, what I decided to create, and it's going to be in January, and if you go to comfortqueen.com and just scroll down a little bit, you'll see a place to join a preferred subscriber list. So if you're listening and you want to get more information, that's how to do it. But what I thought is, okay, you know me, I love to learn. So, okay, once I, you know, got it clear that I really was afraid, I started, who can I talk to about being afraid? So I started calling people like you and saying, okay, tell me about fear. And then I realized, wow, let's get them all together and kind of create a comfort retreat experience for 4 days virtually so everyone can do it, so it's as inexpensive as possible, to learn about how do we navigate these uncertain times. How do we deal with fear? So it's going to be different experts, including you, talking about what you know in a very specific, targeted way. And I'm excited about it, and I'm scared.
Yeah, okay, so what have you learned so far? I get that the first thing, that you learned is, oh, God, that's fear that I've been feeling.
Yeah.
I thought I wasn't feeling. But
well, and truly, that is, it sounds kind of inane, but I think there's the first step is to be able to say that I'm afraid. And I think in the New Age community and the spiritual community, sometimes there's a big taboo against that because it's like, oh, no, that's not law of attraction. That's not okay. I'm never supposed to be afraid. I'm not supposed to have any negative emotions. So there's almost some shame that I'm even feeling right now having this public conversation with you. Like the comfort queen should not be afraid.
Oh, and right. I forgot. Was that on page 35?
It's happening to a lot of people. I get emails, and I think those of us who like, well, damn it, I have a roof over my head. I have a loving family. I still have some money in the bank. I shouldn't be afraid. I shouldn't feel this sense of uncertainty. And so the first thing for me about 15 times a day is to go, oh, that's what I'm feeling right now, and that's okay. And it sounds so dumb, but it's so important.
Well, no, I mean, to me, it doesn't sound dumb at all because it is that thing of any time that you're trying to live up to an image, whether it's an image of being, really human or of really godlike or really anything, you're setting yourself up for a fall because it isn't real. We're all everything. You know, we have that capacity for all things inside us. And so to think, oh, I shouldn't feel this and I should feel this. Well, okay, but it's going to hurt more.
Yeah, it's going to hurt more, but it also really, really, really slows me down because you're spending so much energy going, oh, no, but I'm really not feeling this. So getting out of denial and then letting myself just be with it and then letting myself, this is another interesting thing I've learned, Mr. Neal, is that speediness. I am like the little energizer bunny. I just want to go, go, go. I want to do, do, do. Let's try this. Let's do this. That actually has contributed to being afraid for me.
Shall okay, so, well, no. I mean, I actually was just trying to slow you down with a pause. but there is a question for me there. So what is it about speediness, about going quickly, that makes things more fearful than if you slow down?
I think
a lot of people are scared to slow down. Because, oh, God, if I slow down, then what's going to happen?
That's what I think for me, and I probably there's probably a version of this for a lot of people, is speediness is in my youth how I got through fear. When I decided in the spur of the moment to move from Florida to California, where I knew no one, and didn't feel any fear, I look back at that now at the ripe age of 46 and go, huh, interesting. So I think speed helped me get through things and accomplish a lot, but then it doesn't allow you to stop and go, okay, yeah, I'm feeling this and it's really uncomfortable and I have a lot of assessments and story about it, but let me just be here and feel it. And then it moves through you and you can move on. And so speediness does exactly what you said. It keeps us stuck because we're so afraid of feeling the fear, in this case for me, or the intimacy for someone else, or the uncertainty. Or
now, I'm sort of assuming that there's a difference between feeling the fear and wallowing in it.
Oh, my God. Very good distinction. That would be point number three, not becoming a victim of the fear.
Right. Okay.
Yes, because that is what started to happen to me. It starts to become so real that then you begin to believe it. And this is really a weird thing to say, but I think as fear is something that's outside of me and that's trying to kind of invade me, sounds a little bit like, you know, the aliens are coming to probe.
Well, I mean, if you want to share that on this show, we have a world exclusive alien probe guest, self-help guru Jen Loudon.
But, you know, I do, I have to, what you really come in, for me, the practice is to come into my body, to come into my breath, to come into the moment, to notice something that is nourishing and beautiful, like right now the sun coming through the windows and your voice, and rest there and remember that I get to choose. Otherwise, the fear begins to invade me and I start to believe it. We never want to believe the fear. We want to talk to it. We want to acknowledge it. Just like we do our whiny two-year-olds, but we don't want to let it invade us. And that was, again, such an important distinction for me.
Brilliant. Well, listen, we have a lot of people wanting to get in. If you want to get in to speak to Jen and myself, the number's to call 1-866-254-1579. It's toll-free, 866-254-1579. Let's bring on a caller. Let's go to Frederica in, I think it's in Massachusetts. Frederica, welcome to the show. What can we do for you today?
Hello, thank you. Well, my question is this. I'm a smart, savvy, skilled baby boomer woman, but I'm facing, because of job loss, I'm running out of money, and I'm noticing that I'm going through, like, one day I'll feel very spiritually centered like I did yesterday,
mm-hmm.
and then today I opened up my email and got a job rejection by email for a job I'd really invested a lot into, and my references had as well. And that's why I'm calling you. I just started crying.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess my question is, you know, I've got a lot to offer and I know it, but when I get in this particular mood or place, I guess space, it gets in the way of my productivity from moving forward. So my question, if I had to frame it, is, how does one find, do you have some suggestions for tools to find comfort and calm as you're walking through a pretty serious, you know, transition and hoping to find new work?
That's, I'm like hopping up and down in my office because, A, you're talking about me.
You're hopping up and down?
No, I'm hopping up and down because I'm excited about your question.
You got a problem with that, Frederica? She's hopping up
no,
and down, okay?
Funny. I think it's great.
Well, I'm a hopper, but truly, I feel like I'm listening to myself because as I have an idea for a project and then I put it out there and then am I going to do it, you know, I've been going through the same cycle. So I think the first thing I want to offer you, and probably lots of people listening are nodding their heads vigorously and probably hopping up and down too, which is you're not alone. What you're going through is really, really difficult. And I think part of what happens to us in these uncertain times that blocks a sense of comfort and calm is thinking, oh, somehow I should be able to handle this better than I am. And
well, you know, I've been looking for 4 months, and I'm really skilled, but I'm at the top of my, you know, career. You know?
Right, and it's very, very challenging. And being with that, and being with, you know, I'm doing everything I can, and right now it's not working, and that sucks. And letting yourself be there is actually, in a strange, paradoxical way, it's a comforting place.
So you're suggesting to cope with it is just, I mean, I don't want to wallow in it for too long.
No, no, you don't want to wallow it. That was my first suggestion. And, Michael, feel free. Yeah. This is your show if you need.
Well, no, I will jump in, but I know what I think. I want to hear what you think.
Okay. So, and the second thing for me is there's times when I need to say, I really have to check in with myself. Is this the time to have some gentle self-care? Is it time for, 10 minutes of yoga or a walk in the woods with the dog, something that I need to calm down because my body is just so freaked out by fear that I need to find my center again and then get back into action? Or is it time for some gentle, healthy, chosen distraction? Again, maybe, you know, the walk in the woods or a funny movie with my daughter, and then I can go back to it. Because another thing that we can do is try to stay in the action mode without giving ourselves the time to just calm our body down when the fear is gripping us.
Okay.
So let me add a few thoughts, Frederica, if I can. One is definitely the whole physicalization of it. You know, a lot of what happens is when we get scared, our body fires off all these wonderful, you know, adrenaline chemicals, noradrenaline, and all this stuff that would be absolutely fantastic if you actually did have to have a boxing match with a dinosaur. But if you don't have to have a boxing match with a dinosaur, it's just stuck in your body. And so to go for walks, to exercise, to do something that will get that chemical reaction through your body will make a big difference in terms of your returning to your natural state of comfort and calm. The other thing that just I think you said that's such a key to it, and so many people do, is we invest instead of just involving. And what I mean by that is we make our emotions, we invest our well-being in achieving a result instead of simply involving our creativity and our minds and our bodies. So it's absolutely possible, if a bit strange if you're not used to doing it, to get totally involved in creating what it is that you want in your life, maybe in this case some sort of a job or just an income source, without having to invest your well-being in it.
Other words, it's almost like a bit of a detachment. You involve yourself.
Yeah, it's a detachment, but detachment always sounds to me. Detachment always sounds to me like disinterest.
Yeah,
and what I'm saying is, no, you can love it, you can get really into it, but you can know at the end of the day that it doesn't matter. You know, you'll get the job or you won't, and you'll go on to wake up tomorrow, and the sun will still be shining.
And one of the ways that I think about that is how I'm, instead of sourcing my sense of well-being from what I'm doing and whether it goes well or not. Do you like me today on the show? Did I write something good on my blog? It's finding that deeper source of, it's almost a sense of rootedness that starts in my body, and I return to it by connecting with something directly in my environment that is comforting or pleasing or beautiful, or by bringing up a feeling of gratitude and love in my heart through a memory or through thinking of my daughter or my beloved, and using my body and using a sense of, really in this case, producing those good hormones to begin to source into something that's much more eternal than, you know, am I producing something that's going to bring in income? And so that's maybe another way to approach it.
Does that make sense? Does that...
Of course, and you know, sometimes the universe takes care of us by not giving us things. You just never know.
Mm.
No, you never know. But boy, I wish I could. I'd love to know.
I know. You're very welcome. Thank you for phoning in, Frederica.
Send me a prayer. I find a good job, and you have happy holidays.
Yes, happy holidays. Good job.
And you. And I think, you know, Jen, I always like the AA prayer about, you know, I know that, you know, I know that success and riches won't bring me true and lasting happiness. But dear God, please let me find that out for myself.
It's true. true. It's true. And why, just to go back to why I was hopping up and down about that question, is because it is exactly what I'm trying to create this summit and these tools for right now. And it's so she's just so beautifully put it into a question of how do I do this? When what I most need, what my absolute sense of well-being, I'm running out of money. A lot of us are there. And I do think the learning opportunity, as much as I hate those two words, is to find this way to source a deeper sense of calm and comfort that aren't tied to our accomplishments day in and day out.
All right. Well, we're going to pick up with more thoughts on that, particularly around that thing about running out of money. We have more callers on the line. If you want to join us, 866-254-1579, toll-free, 866-254-1579. We will be back with more comfort, more calm, and more Jen Lavin right after the break.
Welcome back to You Can Have What You Want with your host, Michael Neal.
We are back. We're talking with Jennifer Loudon, author of The Life Organizer and The Woman's Comfort Book. You can find out more about her and her work in the upcoming Comfort Summit at www.comfortqueen.com. Jen, we were talking in the break a little bit about, and you were talking in that first section about how almost we compound the fear with a sense of shame.
Shame and running away from it. And really, I can't tell you how much I've been writing about fear on my blog and how many emails I've gotten and comments like, no, don't talk about fear. Don't talk. You're plugging into the mainstream media. You're buying the story. And it's like, well, first of all, I realized I was afraid before I lost half my net worth. And second of all, if I don't recognize it and let myself feel it without being impressed by it, without being, oh my God, this means that the world is going to fall. That's the incredible distinction, to let yourself be with it without being swept away with it, without being possessed by it, to use, kind of Jungian language.
Yeah, and I think that's such a key, because it is this weird thing where denial doesn't help.
Mm-mm.
And letting yourself be swallowed up by it doesn't help, but there is something about facing, about just simply facing it. I mean, an expression I remember, I don't remember where I first heard it, was leaning into it.
Yeah. Pema Chodron talks about leaning into
it
a lot. Yeah.
You know, like in the same way as a sail leans into the wind, you know, that when you lean into the fear a little bit, what you find is actually it's fine. You can actually handle it. Martha Beck writes about the distinction between clean pain and dirty pain, which I always love. That, you know, there is a clean pain to life. There are certain things in life that are just painful. There are certain thoughts that are just scary. And then there's all the crap that we put on top of that, like, oh, I shouldn't feel this. Mm-hmm. Oh, this is bad. Oh, it's going to be like this forever. Oh, there's mm-hmm. nothing I can do. Oh, I've let down my kids. Oh, 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 oh.
And I want to add some of those thoughts. Really two important distinctions about leaning into it is that we do it with so much self-mercy. And that is taking out, as the thoughts come up, the thoughts are innocent. As the Buddha said, thoughts are innocent. They come up and they say, if you were more spiritually evolved, you wouldn't be afraid. If you were eating right, you wouldn't be afraid. If you were a vegetarian, you would, and those thoughts come up and we go, oh, yeah, I see you, and I'm just going to be here with the fear. And another important point, Michael, to get out of the narcissism of our time that we live in, is to think about, I'm leaning into this fear because I want to do this for the people that I love. I want to do this as an act of service, and running away from it doesn't serve anybody.
Yeah, let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Alberto in Ontario. Alberto, welcome to the show. What can we do for you today?
Hi, Michael. I'm a big fan. When you have your wow and you have been going towards it, and there are some places where you get stuck and you get like you don't know where to go, and there's a lot of variables and a lot of things that you can say, oh, you can go this way or that way. What is the best thing that you can do in order to clarify where to go?
Well, can we get a little more specific? Can you give me some detail?
Okay. I am a psych nurse, and mm-hmm. My goal is to do a master's in counseling in order to to be able to help these people a lot better in a more efficient way. And there is a place that I need to go to study in BC. And so towards that, I've been having to go through a lot of changes in my career. I was doing palliative care, and then I went to mental health again. Now, right now, there is a lot of changes because I cannot get a full-time job, and there is three places that I can, that I've been searching for a full-time job, and right now it is the three places at once telling me where to go. And then also the course that I wanted to do in BC this year, I'm not going to be able to do it because, of course, the changes of in jobs and everything. So it is, it's just like a lot of alternatives.
Okay, so let me just speak to it briefly, and then Jen, I'll turn it over to you as well. But what occurs to me, Alberto, is that the intention behind the wow, you know, wanting to do something that's going to let you make more of a difference with the people that you're serving.
Yes.
That you never need to let go of. That's not dependent in any way, shape, or form on where people tell you to go or how many people tell you it.
Okay.
And so right now, it sounds like you have an idea, you know, of, oh, well, a great way to do this would be if I could do this particular course, and then I'd get these skills and I'd be able to apply them. And I'm finding myself stuck in pursuing that. And so one way that very often opens things back up is to just go back up that level to go, okay, look, my intention here is to find really cool ways that I love of being able to do even more for the people that I'm helping. And that if you kind of refocus on that, my experience is that you very quickly, you know, it's just the nature of the brain. What you focus on, you find more distinctions about. That very quickly, you're going to start to find all sorts of other ways that may or may not involve going to do this course in BC or getting a job at one of these three places that will begin to let you do that. That'll expand your capacity to serve. Does that make sense?
Very good.
Okay, so let me turn you over to Jen as well.
I would say something very similar. And you know, what I'm so touched by is how is your desire to serve and to keep to maybe satisfy if you start to feel frustrated or just as part of your, you know, your daily practices, just to give yourself a minute or two to so appreciate that about yourself, because that's the fuel that keeps us going. And it's easy to fall into, at least it is for me, to more of a sense of, oh, but this isn't working. I think it is the way our human brains work, to focus on what's not working. And what I want to invite you to do is focus on how fabulous it is that you have, you know, you want to serve this population, you know, some ways you want to do it, and that desire, that flame in your heart is such a beautiful thing for me.
Oh, very good. Thank you.
Thank you, Alberto. So let me pick up on that Jim, because I think that there's something about, you know, we get it in our heads that things have to work out a certain way, and a lot of, you know, the dirty pain, a lot of ways that we cause additional trouble for ourselves is by putting our idea of how things are supposed to be above the journey of how they are.
Absolutely. I mean, that's, again, you know, one of the most beautiful things for me about Buddhism and Buddhist psychology is that beautiful reminder over and over again, like, what is actually happening? Can you lean into it? Can you pay attention to it? And we think so often, okay, let me just say, I think so often that I'm actually doing that, and then I realize, oh, no, my mind is off to, but if only this happened, or I wish this had happened. We cause ourselves a tremendous amount of, and I think we increase fear too, a tremendous amount of pain and increase our fear.
And there's that wonderful thing, you know, that there is always an element of choice and you're not always aware of it. But in those moments when you are, there's a really, Timothy Miller is a cognitive psychologist, and he has this great quote that, you know, you can be upset about your bald spot or grateful that you have a head.
To me, that choice is really, that choice point is how we most effectively deal with uncertain times, is to remember we always have a choice. People in the worst situations have written about this throughout history. I have a choice, and when I can rest there, I can dialogue with fear, I can face into it, I can face into disappointment, and sadness, and I can still feel that I can source into something deeper and richer. And that is, at the very basic, my human right to choose.
Brilliant. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Lisa, also in Ontario. Lisa, welcome to the show. What can we do for you today?
Hello. How are you?
Very well, thank you.
Good. I need an objective help here. I've been in this relationship with which I feel was my other half in my life. We hit like a really hard spot in our relationship. We broke up, and then we get together, break up, get together. See, what I'm battling right now is that my intellect is telling me to let go, because there's no, you know, everything that I try to put together within my mind tells me to let go, but my intuition tells me that there is that hope. You know, like I listen to a lot of Hay House, and I am a very spiritual person as well. And, you know, I have asked for signs. And one sign that I asked for was, please, God, give me a sign either to let go or continue to have hope for this situation. And the next day, my sister calls me and says, guess who I dreamed about? You and that person. So it's like I'm having the signs spiritually, but my mind telling me to let go. I just want an objective opinion. If I'm just dealing with fear of letting go, of losing someone that is very special to me, or do you think that I still...
Well, I'm not going to pretend that this is an objective opinion, but I will certainly put forth my opinion, and then I'll ask Jen to put her very subjective opinion out there as well. And for me, Lisa, the thing is, there's never a reason to not hope. Now, that doesn't mean that you hang on when everything inside you is saying, ugh, I hate this, I just want out. That mm-hmm. Because at that point, it's no longer about hope.
But I don't want out.
Right. Well, that's the thing. At the moment, you want what you want. And, you know, when you're feeling hopeful about it, my guess is you have ideas about ways to move forward. And then what happens is you have all these thoughts about how you should let go, and maybe you have some very helpful friends saying, oh, he's a jerk, you should just leave him. And there's a part of you that recognizes his jerkness, and you start to agree with him, and you go, oh, yeah, well, you know what, I should go. And then you get into this like little internal battle.
Yes.
Okay, so here's the thing. You don't have to get this right. In other words, as long as you're staying each day with your own, as best you can, with your own comfort and calm, with your own well-being, and recognizing that that isn't dependent in the end on whether things work out with this guy or whether they don't. You know, yeah, it's easier to notice it when things are going great, but ultimately, if you had to be without him, you would be, and it would be okay.
Yeah.
As long as you spend time in that place and just, you know, let your creative mind, you know, play with it and be with it, you will come up with ideas. And if there is something there to make a wonderful relationship from, you'll make it. And if there isn't, okay, then you'll move on. But there's no sense of, if I haven't sorted this out in the next 3 months, I've blown it. It will take exactly as long as it takes. And that's,
you know,
fine.
What? At my good moments, I think exactly like that. Mm. And I live peacefully, and I'm not in anguish, or I go on with my life. But that person and that want and that need to have that person pops up.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm going to give you the really annoying reply, which is have more good moments.
Have more good moments.
And I'm going to give you an equally annoying reply, which is when those moments of desire for him pop up, stay with them and don't immediately go into, this means I have to make a decision. I have to make a decision that's going to have an outcome that I can count on. That's one of the ways we feed or get invaded by fear, trying to force the river, but also trying to make a plan that if this happens, everything will be okay.
Yes, yes.
So those are spots that come up. They're the way we're conditioned. Of course, as humans, we want to know everything's going to be okay in the end, and mm-hmm. it will be. And if it isn't okay right now, it's not the end.
Yeah, and actually, that's a really nice point as well. That one of the ways that I use as a metric for whether I'm in my well-being or in my fear is if I feel a sense of urgency that I have to sort everything out, I know that's fear.
Brilliant.
Because in real life, unless there's a train about to hit you, there's just not that urgency.
Yeah. All right. It's such an important
point. In other words, be in good moments instead of the fear.
Yeah, and when you're in the fear, there's a wonderful quote from Richard Carlson, the guy who wrote the Don't Sweat the Small Stuff books, and he said, be grateful for your high moods and graceful in your low ones.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really what we're talking about is, you know what, there will be more and more of those good moments as you allow them to be and you really, you know, stay in them. And when the bad moments come, when the moments come where you get caught up in the fear, that's okay. You know, the sun doesn't stop shining because it's cloudy for a while.
No, it doesn't. But when it's cloudy, it's really cloudy.
It is really cloudy. It is. And that's so, and our fear almost of the cloudiness fuels that feeling of, if I could just make the right decision, then it would be all neat and tied up. And
that's what I want. If I have. So that's what I'm tangling with, and I dislike myself, that part of my life.
Oh, sweetie, don't dislike it. Just say, oh, of course you want to know. Of course you want to put this in a package and put a bow on it. Every human being wants to. But let's just be right here with that desire to know. Let's just hang out with that desire to be with him and to be loved and to be safe.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Boy.
A lot of good advice.
Oh, thank you, Lisa.
Thank you. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. So we're coming up on another break. If you want to get in the final segment, the number's to call 866-254-1579. It's toll free, 866-254-1579. Or from outside the United States, you can reach the show on 001-760-918-4300. Jen, in the last segment, what I'd really like to do, as well as talk to anyone who wants to talk, is just kind of look at how we can, in sort of, maybe we'll run through a bunch of situations that people tend to face and just look at specifically, okay, how do you find comfort and calm when that's happening? How do you find comfort and calm when that's happening? And see where that takes us.
Okay.
All right. We will be back with more Jen Loudon and more comfort and more calm right after the break.
Welcome back to You Can Have What You Want with your host, Michael Neal.
We are back. We're talking with Jennifer Loudon, author of The Life Organizer and the Woman's Comfort Book. And you can read her blog and find out about her upcoming Comfort and Calm Summit at www.comfortqueen.com. And of course, you can always find out more about me and what I'm up to at geniuscatalyst.com. Jen, I thought it would be a fun and potentially useful, but fun mostly, thing to do to really look in this last segment at two things. One is to look at, are there specific strategies for finding comfort and calm that apply better to certain situations? In other words, is there one way to find comfort and calm around money and another way around relationships and another way around uncertainty and another way around something else? And then as a second thing, you know, are there specific strategies that work for everybody, or does everyone need to sort of find their own way?
You know, my daughter, my 14-year-old daughter, asked me this question in the car. She said, well, Mom, you know, this stuff that you're creating, this summit and, you know, trying to come up with creating these audios to be with and release fear, you know, what they won't work for everybody because everybody's fears are different. And I said, you know, that's not what I've discovered. It's there's a universal experience of fear, whether you're afraid of losing your job or afraid of not making the right relationship decision or afraid that your elderly parents or your own health. So, no, there really isn't a different approach for each situation, but there's also not a one-size-all. We really have to find our own way in to source that deep sense of well-being, to use your words, or to source something that is eternal and richer and greater than the fear.
Well, what are some of your favorite ways?
Well, for me, and I'm often, I make fun of this when I teach my retreats and make fun of myself, but for me, the body is always the way in. And I think it's a particularly powerful way when it comes to fear because of the stress hormones that are released when we are afraid. And because so many of us live in our heads so much of the time, you know, just floating around giant heads. So, and what does that look like? Well, it can look like learning to feel your feet on the floor, learning to feel where is your head and your hands in space. Letting yourself take three breaths where your exhales are longer than your inhales. Just noticing that you have a body. Like right now you're listening. When's the last time you felt what you're sitting or lying against? If you're in the car or you're at home or you're at your desk, just feel that chair. or that car seat, and then let it support your weight a little bit more. And you might say, if you're listening, well, these are so, you know, this doesn't sound like it's going to be enough, but it can be one of the ways in to begin to experience that well-being that is always available to you, no matter what is happening in your life.
It's interesting. One of the things that I'll often do on trainings and sometimes even with clients is I'll just say, okay, take a minute to do whatever you know to do, whatever you need to do to just get completely present to wherever it is that we are right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes for lousy radio, but it makes for a really great life, because what it does is it just creates a space for the thoughts to settle a bit.
Yeah.
And very often what I find is, you know, it's not so much that I need to create comfort as I just need to let the stuff that's between me and it settle.
Yes, and then to notice that what is another step in is to notice what is there that's comforting to you. The environment is presenting well-being and comfort and calm to you all the time. And you just have to notice it and let it in a little bit. And, of course, then a lot of times what we think is, oh, I'm not deserving, and oh, there isn't time. And so you say to your mind, I know that you have a lot of concerns that this isn't going to work, and I know that you have a lot of concerns that I'm not deserving of this or that we don't have time, and I'm just going to take a moment right now to gaze at the picture of my family on my desk. Oh, my gosh, there is all that beauty, and it's right there in front of me. Or I'm going to take a moment to notice the wind in the trees and how those two elements are coming together right now. I'm not going to try to make anything out of it. I'm not going to try to force it into a feeling. I'm just going to notice it. Oh, isn't that comforting right now?
Yeah, and there is. I find also there's a real comfort that just comes with, you know, I talk a lot, the show's called You Can Have What You Want. But there is a comfort that just comes with deciding to want what you have.
Yes. Yeah.
And you know, Tim Miller, again, I quoted him earlier about the head thing, but you know, another one of the things he talks about is he says, well, you know, okay, somebody will say, well, you say want what I have. Well, what I have is unemployment and a, you know, a nest egg that's just shriveled down to the size of a prune and a bad back you know, in an argument with my kids. And he goes, okay, well, then hate what you have. How's that working for you? and there is just a practical element to it. You're going to have some form of opinion about what you've got now. And it's just not going to make your life better to think that it shouldn't be this way.
There's a practice of contentment is really what we're talking about. And I think we've lost sight of how close our own sense of well-being and comfort and safety in the world, in the most basic sense, a pre-verbal place of comfort and safety, comes from learning to look around right in this moment and go, I can be content with this right now. And then when the thoughts come up, but wait, you haven't gotten the news about the job, or wait a minute, you don't know if the comfort summit you're putting on in January is going to be successful. And, oh my God, what if it's a disaster? And I really can't be content until I know that everybody said yes and it's all arranged. And then I really can't be content until it's done and it's been successful and changed people's lives. And there we go. We're off and running.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's it. I mean, it's funny, you know, Nina and I, my wife, we've talked at times about the different happinesses. And, well, you know, he's happy, but he's not content. And he's content, but he doesn't really experience much joy. And, well, she's got joy, but she doesn't have much comfort. And it is interesting how there are all these different facets. And it's why I've started using the word well-being more than happiness.
Yeah.
Because it just, for me, sort of encompasses all the different elements. But I do think among them, contentment is about as close to a spiritual space as I know in terms of a human emotion.
Yeah. And, you know, you bring up a beautiful point, Michael, because your words, when I have read your books, which I adore, and I think, well, I'm happy because I actually am a really happy person, but what I haven't been and why I think fear has been creeping in the back door is I haven't been practicing contentment, which brings us back to your original question, which is how do you find this sense of contentment or well-being or comfort for yourself? It is a universal condition, but you have to practice. You have to experiment with how to find it, and sometimes the language that we use can be blocking finding that. So maybe you want to play with the words for what is it that I want to source? What is it that I want to rest in? Is it a spiritual experience? No. I don't like anything to do with spirituality. Well, is it happiness? No, that sounds too big and exciting. Maybe it's contentment. Maybe it's well-being. Maybe it's safety. So playing with the words, I think, can be a very good way into developing that unique approach for yourself of this universal feeling.
Okay, so let's take a little time. Let's run through, because I'm sure in researching this and in putting together the summit, you must have come across some very disparate, as well as this common themes, there must have been some very disparate ideas. What were two or three of the just most interesting things, whether or not they even worked for you, that people came up with as their way of finding comfort and calm amidst the chaos of life?
Well, Araya Mountain Dreamer talked about writing. She said, you know, for years and years, I thought of myself as a spiritual teacher who writes, but in this 3-year sabbatical she's been on, she realizes that she's a writer who has spiritual practices. So she talked about that she's filled in these 3 years, I think, God, I want to say like 55 journals.
Wow.
So for her, writing is her way through fear. And you would think that for me that would be true, because when someone asks me at a party, what do? I say, I'm a writer. But for me, it doesn't work. It actually leads me back into my mind. It spirals me more. But for other people, it's writing. Another person talked about, for them, it's painting. It's doing something messy and creative, and it brings them back to some sense of aliveness and being able to trust themselves. You and I had a fabulous conversation about accessing really a non-dual state of being. I am not my thoughts. I have my thoughts, but I'm not my thoughts. I have these, you know, twitches in my back or this fear feeling in my belly right now, but I'm not those feelings because I'm aware of them. That, to me, is, you know, one of the deepest ways that I source that sense of safety and well-being is just going through, oh, I'm having these thoughts, I'm aware of them, so I must not be just these thoughts.
Yeah.
There must be something more here. There must be some other innate well-being.
I actually had a client in the office yesterday, and he was talking about the trauma of a relationship breakup, and I just asked him a bit about it, and I could see his body begin to shake, and he went, ooh, this is big, this is big. And then I just asked him to get up out of the chair and come sit where I was sitting. And I went over and sat in his chair and sort of mirrored back to him what I had just seen him do. And I said to him, is there anything you notice watching me have this intense experience? And he said, yeah, nothing's happening. And there's a real power in beginning to see that you can have a life's worth of experience sitting on a park bench. In other words, that so much of what we think of as the drama of life happens inside our minds. And it's very easy to miss that and to get caught up and to think, oh, no, it's real, it's real, it's real.
It's real.
Well, the feeling is real in the sense that it's grounded in your body. But actually, no, you're just watching images up on the screen of your mind and you're having emotional reactions to them. And just building that awareness is a powerful way of getting back to the innate comfort that's there.
It's extremely, in fact, really, for me, the tool and the appreciation, how often I am blown away by the simple life-transforming power of awareness, that would be every single day. When I practice awareness, when I learn to strengthen that ability to be aware, that's the way back into comfort, in that really deep, rich sense of the word. That's the way into contentment. And finding what awareness works for you, how you keep waking yourself up. I mean, that's been a huge part of my work. It's why I wrote The Life Organizer. It's why I do a lot of what I do.
All right, we've got a couple minutes left. Why don't you tell us a bit about what we can expect, you know, if we join you on the Comfort Summit? What are we going to find there? What are we going to get? How do we do it?
Well, I want to tell you one more person who I interviewed, who Judith Orloff, who has her new book's coming out in the new year. It's called Emotional Freedom. And one of the things that I love is she frames it as, I am not just my fear, I am larger. And she talked about how I am not going to let this fear rule me. And I don't want to set it up as you want to get into an argument with your fear, because I think that can be very stuck, you can get very stuck there. But to realize, you know, this fear is here and I'm not going to let it rule me. I am larger than that. I can listen to it, but not let it invade me. That was a really important idea for me.
Very cool.
Okay, so ends of the comfort summit. So, which I'm not sure I love that word, the comfort summit. It sounds so serious. I'm thinking maybe I should call it the comfort retreat. But what it's going to be is January 12th through the 15th, and it's going to be 8 experts, wonderful, amazing people, and me. And we're going to be all the way, it'll be all on the phone and through, so you can call in and ask questions, but we'll also have it for download. And it's going to be giving you very targeted advice for how you can deal with different aspects of fear and uncertainty and anxiety, or whatever's going on in your life, whether it's caused by the economy, which is a huge concern. About 400 people emailed me telling me what their concerns were, and the economy and money were a huge part of it. So we'll definitely deal with that. But we're going to be trying to create an experience that allows you to let go of and to learn how to and feel recharged so that you're stronger and more courageous in this very grounded way that we've been talking about in this conversation.
Very cool. So do you know who's going to be there?
Well, right now I know it's going to be you and me and Laura Berman Fortgang and Barbara Scher and Janine Roth and Michael Bungay Stainer. And then a couple other people, the money people I hadn't invited yet before I changed the date, because we were going to do this in December, if you remember, and it didn't work because I was trying to do it too soon, because there's my speedy thing.
Yeah.
I love to do things fast. So we're going to add a couple more money, people to it. Somebody who has some really great perspective on how do you deal with money in a creative, spiritual, but grounded way.
Very cool.
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting and wonderful, and I really want to reach people who think, God, you know, I know that I can deal with this, but I really need some reminders about how to.
Okay, so if we want to be part of it, the place to go is www.comfortqueen.com.
Yes, comfortqueen.com, and you can just scroll down about two blog entries, and you'll see the place to join in and get on the preferred customer list, so you get the discount.
Brilliant. So listen, thank you, Jen. We're coming to the end of the show. Thank you very much. Thank you to Sunny, Joe, and Steve, and Kyle, and everyone else in the studio for keeping us on air and moving forward. We're going to be back with a brand new show next week. Till then, have fun, learn heaps, and I'll speak to you soon.